This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله على الصلاة
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his family, his companions and his followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ بِقَوْلِهِ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Ask the people of dhikr, the people of knowledge, if you don't know. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Dawood reported, قَالَ أَلَا سَأَلُوا حِينَ جَهِلُوا أَلَا إِنَّ شِفَاءَ لِعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ Why didn't they ask when they have no knowledge? What removes ignorance is knowledge. And في البخاري ومسلم من حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث المشهور إن الله لا ينزع هذا العلم انتزاعا Allah will not take the knowledge just like that by making it disappear. But by putting or taking away the scholars. وإنما يكون بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبقى عالم أو لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا When there is no scholars left, people will start asking people who have no knowledge and those people will answer them with no knowledge and they will misguide them. They already misguided, then they will misguide people. That shows you clearly that we should ask people of knowledge. That's why Muhammad ibn Sirin and Malik ibn Anas وغيرهما said قال إن هذا العلم دين فانظروا عمن تأخذوا دينكم This knowledge of Islam is part of your deen, part of your religion. And you have to know where you're taking your religion from. It is an obligatory upon the person who needs fatwa, who needs answer, who needs clarification in Islam to search and look for the one who has knowledge and who can be, you know, sufficient to give you the answer. Not just any Facebook post, not any, you know, WhatsApp message, not any person who have, mashallah, good voice of Quran, not with the longest beard. That's not how we define the person of knowledge. And the person of knowledge is not someone, you know, one person was asking a person I know in here. So I said, why did you ask him? He said, mashallah, look at him. He's wearing thawb and a turban. I said, yeah, but that doesn't make him able to give you an answer or to give you a fatwa. You know, exactly like, you know, if you see somebody in the hospital, doesn't mean he's a doctor. Not by default, or somebody in a mechanic shop doesn't make him a mechanic. Somebody comes to the masjid all the time, doesn't make him a scholar, or give khutbah, or lead salah, or even have the Quran. The knowledge is something more beyond that. And how would I know that this person is capable of giving fatwa or not? I mean, that's a legitimate question. The scholar said, that person, do his best. As long as Allah sees that you're doing your best to look for the one who's qualified to give fatwa or not. And these I'll tell you some few points that the scholar said. For instance, that someone who will be position himself to give fatwa while scholars see him, aware of him, you know, he is with them, and none of them will, you know, object to him be giving fatwa. Like Imam Malik rahimahullah said, I was there around me 70 muftis, and I used to give fatwa, and none of them objected to me. That's the kind of approval that this person is capable of giving fatwa. Also, a person who became so well known to be a mufti, a scholar, you know, like for example, we know, you might not know Sheikh Salah al-Sawi, for example, qualification, but he became a well-known figure worldwide as a scholar or belonged to an institute of fatwa, like a fatwa committee, like he part of Al-Azhar fatwa committee, or Saudi Arabia fatwa committee, or Indian fatwa committee, or the minister of Hajj Awqaf, the muftis in Jordan, or the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. You know, someone like known to be a person of knowledge, the head or the faculty member of one of the respected Islamic universities in the world. People like this, it's at least, it might not be the best, but for you as an ammi, as an average person, that's enough for me if I know that this person has this kind of credential to ask. Also, if I know that the scholar referred to him as a mufti. Some people that I know refer to that person as a person that you can take fatwa from. Also, one of the things is, if he's known to write books and publish so many articles and research papers in academic papers in the field of knowledge, and also a person who have a certificate. In the old days, they have ijazat, that the scholar will write ijazat. This is a mufti. Today, in modern life, there is something called university graduate. At least for you as an average person, okay, he has a Sharia degree, has a master in Sharia degree or in Islamic studies. That's an enough minimum for you to know that this person is capable of giving the fatwa. Another issue here, a lot of people ask, whenever talk about asking questions and asking a mufti, do I have to ask someone belong to a specific madhab? You know, for example, I'm from Palestine, and in Palestine we are Hanbalis, so that means I have to ask only Hanbalis. Or I am from Egypt, southern of Egypt, and southern of Egypt, Malikis in general. So that means I only ask Maliki or Hanafi, if I'm from Bangladesh, for example. The answer for this, no. You don't have, you're not entitled to that. Nothing in Islam ever said that you have to be adhering to a specific group of muftis or a school of thought in fatwa or anything of that nature. These madhab are meant for the student of knowledge to learn, to be able to master the fiqh. So if I'm studying fiqh, I study through one of these madhab. And me as a mufti, I use these madhab as my reference to be able to answer the questions. But for the average person, no. And to ask him to be able to, they must follow an opinion of a specific scholar, this is not something that ever been exist in history of Islam. Especially in the early days. What if I ask someone that, you know what, I just ask anyone, just a random person online, you know? Al-Ulama rahimahullah, Az-Zarkashi said there is an agreement between the scholars that this fatwa is invalid. So if you take fatwa from someone on a Facebook or on a WhatsApp message and you're not sure who the mufti is, Were you not sure that this is referred to an entity that is trusted? For example, Islam question Q&A. It's a trusted fatwa website. Islam online fatwa. That's a trusted website. They only get good. Even if I don't know who is the mufti, you send a message to Amja. Amja will reply to you. You know? You don't know who is the mufti necessarily, but that's a trusted entity. The ifta of Egypt, al-Azhar, will answer you. Not necessarily will tell you the name of the mufti, but that entity is trusted. That's fine. But just a random thing on no reference to any, you know, institute or entities or a specific person that known to be a person of knowledge. No, that's not allowed. That's not sufficient. And that's not allowed to be followed, because one of the condition is Ahlul Ilm. And that's basically the strongest opinion among the scholars, that this not will be sufficient at all. Even if you doubt, have a doubt, is he a scholar or not scholar, you're not allowed to ask. I think one of the most pressing issues here is the issue of, with this globalization, with this ability to connect with so many scholars and to hear so many fatwas and opinions about different matters, what I deal with these differences? كيف الإنسان يتعامل مع الخلاف؟ قلنا إنه يجب عليه يسأل أهل العلم، يجب عليه يتحرى. بس طيب إذا اختلفت الفتوى كيف أتعامل معها؟ If there's different opinions, how can I deal with this? العلماء رحمه الله debated over this. But ابن القيم رحمه الله wrote a lengthy article أن العام يجب عليه أن يتحرى. It is obligatory upon you to look at these opinions and to find the one that you think that it is the closest to the Sharia, closest to Islam. So you might say, Sheikh, I never studied Sharia. How would I be able to? Are you asking me to make tarjih between people? No, we're not asking you to do that. We're not asking you to look at each one's evidence and to evaluate it and to know. No, I'm not asking you, you're not capable of that because that's not your specialty. But what we ask you to have a general look. Exactly, Ibn al-Qayyim said, like when you go to two doctors. One doctor said, right now I have to take you to the operation room. I'm going to cut you open and remove it. And another doctor said, no, you don't need to do that. You know, there is a lot of treatments for this without any surgery. You know, you're a diabetic person. A surgery have so many complications for your age. And the other one said, no, don't worry. We will figure that out, inshallah, after we get you out of the operation room. You have a common sense. You have to make a choice. You have to make tarjih between the two. A woman will be giving two medications, two methods of contraception. You know, she's not a doctor, she's not a specialist to figure out which one is much better. But she reads here, she reads there. And in the end of the day, you're going to make a choice. And it doesn't matter which one you go with, but you will do your best. That's what al-ulama rahimahullah said. That you have to put an effort into this matter when there is opinions that is so against each other's and they don't go along with each other's. And what kind of effort I put? They didn't leave you hanging dry. They give you certain guidelines. And that's what I want you to pay attention to. First guidelines. You look at the two opinions or three or different opinions or fatwas. And تنظر إلى الأصل التي تقوم عليه الفتوى. If the opinion or that fatwas, what is founded on? Somebody tell you, Allah, I feel that way. Somebody give you no evidence from Quran and Sunnah. Somebody said, oh, this is the opinion of my Shaykh. While someone will bring you clear, he will say, this is the majority, and this is the hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is a rule in Islam, this is qa'ida in Islam, and so forth. That's one thing to keep in mind. Another one, to see many of the fatawas, especially when you go online, any fatwas, any opinion related to a specific issues, there is two sides of it. The Islamic evidence that back it up and how much it match the situation. So I might look at opinion for someone who lives in, for example, in Turkey. Okay? Like that day I was listening to some imams online. You know, we have a group between imams. And they were saying, you know what? Where I live, and he lives in somewhere overseas. After Khutbat al-Jumu'ah, somebody stand up in the back and give translation in English. All the masajid you guys in Europe and America, you should not give khutbah in English. You should give khutbah in Arabic and have someone to translate in the back. But this person, he doesn't understand, you know, that the majority, 90% of the people, don't understand Arabic. So you have to also look at how much this opinion, this fatwa, are aligned with the situation that you are in. Another area you look at it. يعني مظهر ثالث من مظاهر الترجيح. بالنظر إلى متعلقات المسألة المسؤول عنها. مثلا إذا كانت المسألة من دقائق العلم، من المسألة تحتاج إلى الخبرة، مسألة تحتاج إلى النظر العام، هذا ينظر فيها إلى صاحب الخبرة والسن. An issue that it's so delicate. An issue that it, you know, there is a difference between stem cells, you know, can it be used or not? Donating organ donations, you know, using, for example, a valve in the heart that is taken from an animal that is considered najis or not. These issues are contemporary. That's different. Someone say, hey, I came before Maghrib, should I pray 2 rak'ah, tahiyat al-masjid or not? That's someone who is a student of knowledge can answer this. But major issues like higher issues of new issues, or an issue has to do with war, with peace, something has to do with the general public, what do? We go to somebody who are elders, have more experience, and also we look at something else, we call it collective ijtihad. هنا يكون رأي الجمهور أحرى للعامة. As a person, I look at what the majority says of the scholars. What is the fatwa of a council of fatwa? So instead of Sheikh Waleed opinion, it became the Amjaz opinion, or it became the Muslim World Thai Council of Fiqh opinion. And these are things will help you and guide you to deal with these differences as well. Another area, another principle, العلماء رحمه الله يقولون تنظر إلى الأورع منهما وهو أرجح من النظر إلى الأعلم. العلماء debated, should I look at the most knowledgeable or the most pious? And many said the most pious beside the ilm. مش عابد جاهل. لا. They are all knowledgeable. Maybe someone more knowledgeable than the other. But this more pious. They said go with the pious. Why? قالوا because لأن تقواه وورعه سيمنعه من الفتوى بالجهل وسيمنعه من المحابات. بخلاف الأعلم فإنه لن يفتي بالجهل لكن قد يقع في المحابات. They said you look at someone who pious have more taqwa because he has knowledge and his taqwa will never allow him to say what he doesn't know, but also will never allow him to compromise the religion. He will be straightforward with you and he will tell you the right opinion. How would I know who is more pious? You do your best. Alhamdulillah. The point is Allah to see you trying, putting the effort. Also one of the things that al-ulama rahimahullah said, الأشياء اللي تتعلق بنفسك تأخذ بالأحوط والأشياء اللي تتعلق بعموم الناس واحد يفتي لمؤسسات وعموم المسلمين يأخذ بالأيسر. When it comes to personal choice, you can choose that more strict opinion. But when I come me to give fatwa to an organization, I look for the opinion if they are in the same level of khilaf, I look for what's easier, something for the masses. I look what is, you know, will be easy for the masses. Not, I can be as strict with myself as much as you want. But when it comes to the fatwa to the public, that's a different, the different thing. And also, يعني يعبرون عنها حنا بيقول شن يكون أشد في حقوق العباد وأيسر ما حقوق الله. يعني become more strict when it comes to people's money and rights. But I became a little bit more, can go toward the lean towards the easiest opinion when it comes to what is between you and Allah. لأن حقوق العباد مبناها على المشاحة وحقوق الله مبناها على المسامحة. يعني what is between Allah, that's why, for example, تجد العلماء الحنابلة بالذات, you say a lot of scholars like among the حنابلة and others, لما تأتي مسائل المعاملات المالية تجد عندهم ترخص كبير. When it comes to business transaction, you find them very lenient. So easy. But when it comes to salah, ibadah, hajj, siyam, aqidah, they are very strict. Also, they have another area, which is basically, they're making things easy in the ibadat, more strict, and the muamalat, in the business transaction, they are more lenient. So, ulama, rahimahullah, also look at one of these look at this as one of the principle. You put all this together, all this together. And if the end you still confuse, alhamdulillah, you choose any opinion that you can take from a trustworthy scholars, and it's sufficient for you. And by the way, you're not obligated in Islam to ask multiple sheikhs. If you ask one sheikh and he gives you the answer, it is okay. Sometimes people drive me, you know, crazy. They tell me, Sheikh, I've been asking all the sheikh about this. I said, khalas, I'll be one of them next. And don't ask me. Khalas, habibi. Ask all sheikh to take one of these sheikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yirzuqna wa iyyakum al-fahma fi al-deen. Qul ma sami'tum wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum astaghfirullah. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. There is a misconception about hadith واصبة رضي الله عنه ابن معبد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له استفتي قلبك واستفتي قلبك استفتي قلبك ask your heart, you know, seek fatwa from your heart. Some people say خلاص شيخ وليد, I don't need all your guidelines, I'm just gonna ask my heart. No, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that after the person got confused by different fatwas. And you're not allowed. Let's say you heard two opinions among the scholars and you can't figure out which one is more trusted. You couldn't apply to this rule. You don't say, istafti qalbak, so my qalbi will give me a third opinion. No, it's not allowed. Istafti qalbak in one of these two to take. But you don't come with your own opinion. That's what istafti qalbak means. Also, because sometimes you feel that this doesn't sound right. That just doesn't sound correct. A'udhu billah. Final point. Some people have also this weird idea. He said that he will tell you ish. He go like, Ya akhi, iddeen ma fi rahbaniya. Lish al-Islam wal-fatwa tkun hikr ala أصحاب اللحى والدقون وال الحمد لله الدين للجميع والدين لله. They say religion is for Allah. Don't be like, you know, like priests. We're not Catholic here. You know, tell me there is a religious people and anybody can. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Quran and the Sunnah applicable or approachable and easy, so anyone, any Muslim can make his own rules. That's very common, by the way. Allah, so many people say this. You know, especially in the Middle East, you know, there is a couple of names of famous individuals who promote this openly in many TV channels, programs, writing books and articles about it. So they're going to tell you, khalas, Islam is easy. You make your own rules. We're not Catholic here. You don't need a priest. The sheikh is not a priest. Habibi, you don't know what's Catholic, you don't know what's Islam. You don't know what's priest, you don't know what's sheikh by saying that. What we object to, what has been practicing in Catholicism and others, that someone claimed that he is your way to Allah when it comes to the ibadah. Yeah, and in another way, you can pray just straight to Allah. You cannot make dua to Allah. You cannot make tawbah, repent to Allah. You have to go through a priest to confess to him what is sin. That's what we object to. Or the priest has the power to give you, a forgiveness or grant you Jannah, like what they used to do in the evil, medieval days, you know, grant the Jannah to the king and queen and stuff like that. That's what we say. There is no rahbaniya fil Islam. There is nobody have this power in Islam. But it doesn't mean that you have the power to basically to be a person who give fatwa and make rules and, that's not allowed. Only people of knowledge. We're not the same in Islam when it comes to the level of knowledge. من يعلم ليس كمن لا يعلم. Those who have knowledge not equal to those who don't have knowledge. Yes, Islam is easy, but still this is a science. You can learn if you want, and you can be a sheikh yourself, but not by claim. It is by taking these steps. إنما العلم بالتعلم يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in such confusing time and with such of, you know, information is so global, or so mass, and it's so important for you to know how to navigate through that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect your deen. And as I said, alhamdulillah, things are much easier than much people think. you know, and became so angry and each other's. Alhamdulillah, the person have follow an alim and a sufficient alim, especially in the area of fiqh. That's much easier than the area of aqidah and others. So we should deal with it in that spirit. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names and attributes to forgive our sins and to protect our scholars and to guide us always to the right thing. اللهم إني نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى وأن تؤتي نفوسنا تقواها وأن تزكيها خير من زكاها. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and all area of devastation. Devastated people everywhere in the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy on the refugees, easy on those who are in war zone, easy on those who live and dead. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يفرج هم المهمومين وكرب المكروبين وأن يقضي الدين عن المدينين وأن يفرج عن المسجونين المظلومين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم لا تؤاخذنا بسيء أعمالنا ولا بما فعل السفهاء منا ولي علينا وعلى المسلمين خيارهم وأبدنا وعنا عنهم شرارنا وشرارهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا اللهم اغفر لأزواجنا وبناتنا وأولادنا وأحفادنا وذرياتنا ومن له فضل علينا. اللهم أنزل الخير على هذا المسجد وأهله اللهم أنزل الخير على هذه المسجد وأهله. يا الله, I ask you to bless this community, to bless this masjid, and to bless those who come to this masjid. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names and attributes as he gather us today in this blessed day of Jumu'ah to gather us in Jannat al-Na'im with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Su'ada. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa qumu lis-salati.